says, "It's my Maya's birthday." She's 5 years old today. Isn't that amazing? So I feel quite privileged to be preaching on the birth of Jesus being foretold on such a special day, of where I remember a rather painful morning 5 years ago of where my Maya was born. But I also feel privileged today to be preaching on this scripture, because it's a moment in history where Jesus is conceived, where Jesus comes amongst us into Mary's womb, where this promise has been placed before us, that where we're going to celebrate it into Christmas, of Emmanuel, of God with us. And I feel privileged because it feels, in a sense, that we are living out this parable also at the moment with our Hope Centre, that we're just under, hopefully, 9 months away of the Hope Centre being with us. And so it does feel like we're also in a time of pregnancy with the Hope Centre, that we're awaiting and we're preparing for God to do something amazing in our time. Isn't that just such a blessing? That how are we preparing for what God is going to do in and through the Hope Centre? And we had Sam come and speak to us last week about our God-given dreams and God-given visions, that we are a church who have been given dreams and visions from God, and that these dreams and visions from God will birth us as a church community who are filled with hope, that we're filled with God. Because when we see the vision of God, it outweighs what we see the world as. But we see what the world could be. We see what our neighbour could be. We see what we could be. And it can only fill us with a sense of hope. And I just wonder what happened last week when Sam invited us to dream with God, to sit and rest on God's presence and ask him, "What is your vision?" I wonder what we heard. I wonder what we saw. And did it fill us with hope? And did it fill us with this statement of what we're preaching on today, of that nothing is impossible with God? Nothing is impossible with God. And this is a statement, I know I'm new here at St. Mary's, but it's a statement that you see quite a lot around this building, that nothing is impossible with God. And Malcolm highlighted to me about our stained glass window at the back of Mary, that it depicts this moment that we're reading about today, that nothing is impossible with God. And this wasn't something that Malcolm had a plan and a vision for the church one day, that this will be our motto, this will be what we print everywhere, but it came birthed out. So we didn't have the vision and then thought we'd put a window up, but we had the vision, and then God highlighted to Malcolm about that we have this window. So it's in our very fabric of St. Mary's, that through generation of generation, people have kneeled at that altar to receive communion and have been in front of this statement that nothing is impossible for God. And I had some rather flashy contact cards printed for me when I started here. I think I've given two out because I always forget that I've got them. And on that card is that statement that nothing is impossible with God. And I find myself constantly, as I hand them to people, what does this mean? If someone asks me, what does this nothing is impossible with God means? And it troubles me sometimes, if I'm honest. What does it mean? Does it mean that everything we do as a church, everything we do as Christians, and wrap in a nice Christian film, that it'll come true, that it'll happen? Does it mean that everything we pray for happens? But I don't think it does. I think what it speaks about is God's action here on earth, of his promises, of his plans, of his vision, of his dreams, prevailing way beyond what our physical confines have. That it's about God. It's about all the action of God being possible. And one of our strongest mandates as the universal church is something that we pray, hopefully day in, day out. It's in the prayer that Jesus taught us, is that we want to see his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this prayer not because it's some warm, fuzzy prayer that might get us through a tough time or a difficult situation, but it is a prayer that we pray because it's an obedient pursuit of something more. It's an obedient pursuit of another world. And it's a responsibility for us as a church and as every believer to be in this pursuit of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just our role as a church and as individuals to live a life that one day we might gain access to heaven. That's been done. But when we gave our life to Jesus, through his death and resurrection, we have gained access to heaven. You are born again, Christian. You are born of heaven. That is given. So we're not to live in a way that our destiny, that we are to live in a way that our destiny is of heaven. But we're to live in a way that our assignment is heaven on earth. Our assignment is to live out the kingdom of God here on earth. So our destiny as born-again Christians is heaven. That's good news, isn't it? But we have an assignment to co-labor, to rest and depend on God, that we might see his kingdom on earth, that we might see the impossible made possible through God. And these assignments are given to every church, are given to every believer. And they're normally way beyond our ability, way beyond our comprehension, and it's way beyond just getting to heaven. So who are we going to be? Are we going to be a church that just pursues what's already given? Or are we going to be a church that pursues the impossible? Are we going to be a church that takes on that assignment of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? How are we going to live? Because God is trusting us to live in this way. And if we're baffled if God trusts us, we need to see the one in whom he's entrusted to us. The person of the Holy Spirit has been entrusted to us. Ezekiel 36 says, I will put my spirit within you and you will walk in my ways. The Lord has given us this person of the Holy Spirit to live within us, that we might live out the purposes of God here on earth. That he is invested in us. So as we gave our little lives to Jesus, as our church kneels at the feet of Jesus, the whole of heaven is invested in us. As the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us and amongst us, the whole of heaven is watching. The whole of heaven is invested. Invested for us to go about the ways of the kingdom, to go about the impossible. Invested in us. How do you feel about that? That heaven is invested in us. God is invested in us to carry out his plans and his purposes. And I wonder what it is to be truly filled with the Holy Spirit, of what that might look like. I wonder what it looks like for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us as we go about the Hope Center, as we go about our daily lives. What does it look like? Because the Holy Spirit has invested in us to bring about heaven, to bring about his kingdom here on earth. I don't know about you, but when Sam led us in a time of dreaming with God, I began to see dreams that were way beyond what we could do. That we could do it, and we could look like a really nice church, And everyone is saying, isn't St. Mary's wonderful? But I don't know about you, but when I think of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, I see people being healed. I see people being set free. Where the world says it will never happen for this person, God says maybe it might just happen. Where there's broken families and it's just about putting a band-aid, putting a plaster on the mess, God says, no, I'm going to come and redeem it. I'm going to come and piece it back together. For God, it's possible. For us, it's not. So what would it look like if the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within us? I want to go to verse 28 in Luke's reading today. And this is the part where Mary is greeted by the angel. And he says this special verse, that the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you, Mary. Just imagine hearing that. And we're in that place today, that the Lord is with us. And this is interpreted as that the whole of God is with Mary. That the blessing of the Lord is surrounding her. The Lord is in this moment. The Holy Spirit is about to come upon this moment with Mary to enable her to do far more than she could ever do by herself. The power of the Most High is coming to overshadow her, that God Himself, the Creator, will surround His purposes, and that through Mary there will be sovereign power. We are not talking here about some far-off God that is just coming to meddle with some human affairs to get His will done. But it's rather, as St. Augustine puts it, that it's a God who made us for Himself. It's a God of love who is coming to be with Mary to initiate something way beyond what she could do for herself. It's a way of love that is coming upon Mary for salvation purposes. And this is not just some spiritual exercise. This isn't just God coming upon Mary to see how she might cope with this. It's not about an exercise of obedience or an exercise of faith. But it's a picture of what it might look like when the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is expected and is lived out. And it's the same with our vision and values here at St. Mary's. We're not just living out a vision and value because it's an exercise of us becoming really great Christians, even though we hopefully will be at the end of it. But our vision and values is about a move of God. Is about the realness of God coming amongst us and us living and carrying that out. It's about hosting the real purposes of God in our day. And in verse 31, we see the angel speak of the purposes of God in this moment, that she will conceive a child and that she will give birth to a son, and he will be named Jesus. And he will be given the throne of David, and his kingdom will have no end. And this is an Old Testament promise spoken freshly in this moment. And then Mary thinks a little bit about the practicalities of that. But then the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be overshadowed. The angel then goes on, after he says this, to say about the testimony of Elizabeth, and he says that nothing is impossible with God. And Mary says, Lord, I am your servant. And I just want to pull out just a couple of things from this part of scripture for us today. And that when God comes and speaks through the angel to Mary in this moment, this is known as a Rhema moment. This is the Rhema word of God. That the very thing which is being imparted to Mary in these verses holds a power in itself to be carried out. that every rhema word, which means every freshly spoken word of God, contains its own power and ability to perform itself. And that these plans and purposes of God come to take up residence in Mary. And I think this is such an encouragement for us today, that when God comes and speaks to us as a church, his word has the power and the ability to perform itself. And he simply wants us to come and co-labor in that. That when we receive the word of God, when God speaks these freshly spoken promises in us, he will come and overshadow the word. And this doesn't mean that we won't have any problems, that we won't struggle in life, because we can see that Mary definitely had these problems later on. I don't know about you, but having been in labour and on a donkey, that's a problem, that's a hardship, that she had these issues. But God says that when I speak a word into you, the rhema word of God, that is where the ability is, that's where the authority is, that's where the power is. That he will come and overshadow that. That he will come and overshadow his plans and his purposes. So I wonder, where has God spoken to us today? Where has God spoken to us in this time where we've doubted that it will happen? Where we've looked at our own practical living and thought, I don't think. Maybe I heard wrong. Maybe the scripture's not true. But I want to encourage us here today that if God said it, he will carry it. That his freshly spoken word has the ability to perform itself. And our role is to protect it and to walk with it. And to lean into God as you do so. So this releases us from any striving, of any we've got to get it all done. But it's about leaning in, pressing in and yielding to the word of God. So we have a role, we do. We have a role to build a center. That's our role. That's what God's asked us to do. And there's going to be sacrifice in that, and there's going to be probably sweat and maybe a few tears. But that's the task that the Lord has given to us, to build it. And the role that God has to play is to perform himself, to come amongst us and to perform the things that we cannot do. We can build a building, and we can sacrificially live so that building can be built. But we can't heal people. We can't stick families back together. We can't see hundreds of children come and worship him. That's the Lord. That's his ability. That's his power. That's his grace. That's him. And that's what God is calling us to be. To be a people that know that he is the one who holds all the ability and all the power and all the authority to do all of those things. And our role is to just submit. Like Mary says, I am your servant. So how desperate are we to see God's ways here on earth? How desperate are we to see God's dreams and visions come to pass? How desperate are we to yield to God that we might see miracles in our days? Because our assignment is not just to get to heaven. Our assignment is to see God at work here on earth now and to carry out his purposes in intimacy and in yieldedness. And then the last thing I want to share from today's reading is the power of God-given testimonies. That the angel spoke all these things, but spoke the promise, said that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, that the Holy Spirit, you're going to be overshadowed by the Lord. And then the angel says, Elizabeth, shares the testimony of Elizabeth and then says, because nothing is impossible with God. And I want to encourage us as a church, just as the Lord done to Mary in that moment, of share testimonies of where God has completely rocked up, where God has completely done what he is to do. That we need to share those testimonies and we need to hear those testimonies. Because I don't know about you, but I am challenged time and time again where my faith has gone small, where I've just gone to live out a nice way of being a Christian, of that I've got everything in place, that if someone looked in my life, I look like a good Christian. But then I get challenged of what am I living for? What is my life to look like? And when I hear stories of how God has broken out in communities, of how he has come in power in people's lives, I am filled with faith for the more. So I want to encourage us to share stories, to listen to testimonies, to read God's word of what is possible when the Holy Spirit comes and overshadows people. That we might also one day open up our hearts, our lives, our hands, and say, here I am, Lord. So our assignment is not just to get into heaven. It is to carry out the mandate of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to be dreamers of the day. We're to be God visionaries in our day. And we're not to strive, but we're to yield. And to lean our head on the Beloved. We're to press in to God for all the things that he can only perform. And we need to share God's stories, God's goodness, the times where he's shown up. And we need to hear of the times that he's shown up in other people's lives. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose here at St. Mary's, and I thank you that we are already in that plan. Holy Spirit, I pray in this time that you will overshadow us once more. Show us our role, but Father, do your role. We so desperately want to see more of you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father God, that we'll just be a church who are completely amazed at the wonders of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together.